Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site and fm1032.com.au.
Well, he's widely attributed with being the pioneer of the Christian men's movement since publishing a book called Healing the Masculine Soul back in 1988. Gordon Dalby is his name. He's soon going to be in Australia for a series of conferences in Sydney, but he's joining us now from the US. And Gordon, great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Sharon. It's good to be with you.
You know, when we think of men's issues and Christian writers addressing those issues, we often think of John Eldredge these days. And yet, you've sold more than 100,000 copies of that book, Healing the Masculine Soul, which you wrote, you know, how many, 10, 15 years before John Eldredge came on the scene. And I believe John counts you as something of an influence in his life, too. What I really want to know is, what led you to realize you had to address this issue of the masculine soul?
Well, let me tell you an amazing story. I'd say 20, 25 years ago, I was pastoring a church in the Los Angeles area, and a pastor friend of mine called me all excited, and he said, Gordon, let me tell you what happened. He said, the other day I was praying in my office for a parishioner. When he came in my office, his hair was messed up. He looked in awful shape, like he hadn't slept in weeks. And he fell into a chair in my office, and I said, what's wrong? He says, everything's wrong. My wife is about to leave, my boss about to fire me, my doctor tells me I might have heart disease. And my friend was saying, you look awful to this guy. You look like you haven't slept in weeks. He says, I haven't. He said, in fact, I keep having the same nightmare day after day. He said, the same nightmare? What is it? He says, well, it's terrible. He says, I'm being chased by a lion, and the lion's chasing me, and I'm running and running. Finally, I get exhausted, and I just run out of energy, and I drop down. The lion's face comes right up against me, and I wake screaming. And my friend was, he's a very creative guy, and he thought, could this lion represent his wife, could represent his spouse or his heart disease, whatever. And they couldn't come up with anything. So they prayed together, and they waited to see what could happen. And my friend came up with this idea. He said, I told him, let's do this. Why don't you close your eyes and remember the dream? And when the lion comes chasing you and you start, instead of running away from him, I want you to stand. And when you stand, just call out for God to be with you and ask the lion this question. This guy's really creative. He says, ask the lion, who are you and what are you doing in my dream? And so the guy said, well, okay, I'll try anything. So he closed his eyes, and my friend was praying for him. And finally, he says, here comes the lion. He says, okay, now just don't run. Just wait. Here he comes. He's coming right up. He says, well, there he's talking. He says, who are you? And what are you doing in my dream? And after about two or three seconds, this guy just relaxed. He just exhaled. And he was just totally at peace. His eyes were closed. And he just kind of melted into the chair, according to my friend. My friend was just chafing at the bit, wondering what in the world had happened. And the guy opened his eyes. It was amazing. He said, the lion came right up to me. I didn't run. And I asked him, who are you and what are you doing in my dream? He said, yes, I heard you say that. Well, what happened? He says, he answered me. He answered you. What did he say? The lion said, I am your courage and your strength. Why are you running away from me? Hmm. My, that just blew us out of the water. We sat thinking, this is a parable for men of our time. Men today are running away from our masculine strength. And we think it's a fearful thing because so many of us have been wounded by our fathers. We've seen or the model of masculine strength has been a destructive model that we've seen. And so in our hearts, we can't embrace it. It's painful to us, so we run away from it. And when the call for masculine strength and protection and support and encouragement and compassion and all the stuff that we're called to be as men, if that occasion arises, we run away from it.
It's interesting. You've touched on something that I know is a bit of a central concept for you, and that is of the father wound, quote, oh, yeah. Father wound. Now, what do you mean by that? What is it?
The father wound, I have a definition of it. It's the difference between what you got from your earthly father and what God wants to give you. But let me tell you a story, a graphic story. A couple, a husband and wife, they came to just... Oh, they were at each other's throats. They were fighting all the time. So I said, look, this is in Los Angeles. So I said, look, why don't the two of you just get some fun? You know, get away, go to Disneyland or something. And I just didn't know what to do. So a week later, they came back. They had gone to Disneyland, and the husband just flopped in the chair, and the wife was just, her face was just grieving. You could see the sadness. Mickey Mouse had not done the job. So I said, what happened? And the man just leapt out of his chair. He said, it was awful. She jumped on me before I had a chance to get out of the driveway. Turn left, turn right. What was it? He just went on and on. Finally, after about two or three minutes, I said, okay, that's enough, Bill. That wasn't his real name. I said, okay, now, Sally, it's your turn. And she looked at me, and she looked at her husband, and she sighed very deeply, and she said, it's true. I said, what? She said, it's true. I was awful. I was. He's right. I was awful. I was terrible. And I said to him, well, Bill, what did you do when your wife was coming at you like that? He said, well, I just shut up. I figured if I didn't say anything else, she'd settle down. I've told this story to 500 women at a women's conference one time, and you see 1,000 eyes roll back in their heads. Gordon, is that the way men think, that if they just shut up, everything's going to be okay? I said, well, sometimes that's all we know to do because we've watched Dad withdraw when Mom comes on strong. So I said to Sally, what was going on in you at that point? She turned to her husband. She says, honey, I was out of control. I needed you to help me get back in control again. I needed you to give me some strength. And instead of what you ran away from me, you abandoned me, you disappeared. But you see, when I talked to Bill, I asked him, I said, Bill, when you were a boy growing up, did your mother and dad fight? Oh, they fought all the time. What did your dad do when your mother would get angry at him? He shut up. And his mother would go on. Finally, Dad would just leave. He'd leave the room. I'm out of here. His dad ran away. Right. Instead of standing up to his wife in a loving way and saying, honey, this is no good for either one of us. Let's work this out together. Let's talk honestly together. He ran away from the lion, and the boy paid for it. The father wound is what happens in a boy when he doesn't get what he needs from his daddy. And all men today suffer from a father wound.
Yeah. Gordon Dalby is our guest on Open House tonight. We're talking about healing the masculine soul and this issue of the father wound. Is it just simply a matter of our fathers haven't, and I'm talking very, very broadly here, but fathers haven't modelled to us what, I guess, facing with courage or facing those lions of the world with courage is?
I think that's certainly true. I think that the father wound very often is a wound of abandonment. And people, with dad is just not there. I did a conference the other week. It was here in the U.S. I've been all over the world, and it's always the same. I had 150 men. I said, how many of you, when you were 11, 12, 13, somewhere there, did your father come to you to say anything at all, like, son, I see you're looking at the girls now. That's fine. God made us that way. But as you do that, I want to talk to you about what's going on in your body and in your spirit. Because, son, this is going to affect you. It's going to affect take a little bit of your life energy as you're growing up. And I want you to hear about it from the man who loves you and not from the guys out on the street. Well, how many think of 150 men say, yes, my dad was there for me to talk about sex and girls and all these things to give me some tools and to help me in this area? We had 2 out of 150, and that is average all around the world.
And so,
I had 350 Christian fathers, they were. I said, how many of you, when you became a dad for the first time, did your father come to you and talk to you about being a father, to give some help, support, encouragement, advice, anything at all to help you as being a dad? I had 5 out of 350. Mm-hmm. That's the same average I get everywhere around the world. We're an abandoned generation.
Yeah, now where has that abandonment started?
Some of the secular analysts would say it happened at the Industrial Revolution. There was a time in history when all boys went to work with their dads. When I challenge young men today to tell me, when was it in history when boys, I mean little but 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, went to work with their dad, and worked a day's work with their dads, and they can't answer it. Most young men can. Do you know what I'm talking about? Can you tell me, Sheridan?
No, well, I don't.
Okay. We're so cut off from our history. That's on the farm.
I remember seeing my dad's office, but certainly I don't even know if he would have been allowed to have taken his son along.
There you go. On a farm, the boy goes to work with dad. And if all he does is collect eggs from the chickens or pull weeds somewhere, he's working right and sweating right alongside his dad. And he has the incredible benefit of being one with his father in that activity together. When the Industrial Revolution came along, now dads leave the home, they go to work, the boy doesn't even know where his father is, has no concept of what's going on. The dad comes home at night, he's exhausted, he's tired, he doesn't have energy for his kids, and there's a tremendous emotional abandonment that goes on at that point. So that's what the secularists would say. I think as a Christian, I have to say that it started at creation, that when all of us as the original human beings at creation, we decided, hey, we don't need God. We can do things all by ourselves. And we decided, forget you, God. We'll take care of business ourselves. And we cut ourselves off from Father God, and, yeah. and the rest, as I would think, is history.
Has followed. And what are the ramifications, then, of this father wound, or this abandonment, this kind of disconnection between men and their sons? I mean, we've talked about kind of a passivity, but what else is, I guess, the ramifications, sure. the results of that?
Well, one thing is, it's like there's this voice that's crying out, and any I think anyone who's if a Christian knows the source of this voice, but if there's a voice in the world that is sometimes called the father of lies in the scriptures and saying son, and of course the young man looks around and says, what, somebody's calling me son. So yes, who are you? What do you want? And the voice kind of says something like, they call me a father of sorts, and I've come to help you out because I know that you don't feel like a real man. But don't worry, I've come to help you out. Now, here you go. Drink a couple, have a couple drinks of this, a couple snorts of this, smoke on this, shoot up with this, whatever. And nobody, all the other guys, they won't ask any questions because they're doing the same thing, and they're all lost as you are. And so one of the first ramifications of fatherlessness is addictions. And secondly, another dimension of that, I'd say the same dimension, another dimension of addictions is, you know, the sense of women, because we don't feel like real men because our fathers have not talked to us about women, so we don't have the stuff of manhood to deal with our sexual desires, to develop healthy relationships with women. So we hear these voices that come out of the culture and out of the world saying, I'll get you a woman. Oh, not one woman, because one woman, you see, would get close enough to you to find out that you haven't got what it takes. So we don't want that. I'll get you lots of women. You can sit right at your computer, and I will bring to you these women. And the best thing about these women you're going to get in the pornographic scenes is they don't mess with your mind. They don't argue with you. They don't tell you you smell bad. They don't care what you look like, how much money you make, what you do with your money. They just give you what you want, just as you are, without one plea. See, pornography is a counterfeit grace. It's sold to billions of dollars to a generation of fatherless men, men who have not been told what their sexuality is all about, what it's designed for, and how to function in a healthy way. And so the woman becomes a substitute. Why? Because if dad abandons the boy, when dad is not there, very often the only authority figure who remains is the mother. And so the boy looks to the mother to speak manhood into him. He looks to the woman to make him feel like a man because dad has abdicated, has abandoned him. And, of course, when he grows up, the next thing in his mind is, I got to get lots of women to make me feel like a man.
Feel like a man. That's it all makes sense, doesn't it? We're talking to Gordon Dalby tonight on Open House. We'll podcast this via theopenhouse.net.au. So, Gordon, to some degree, when it comes to turning this around, almost men need to be refathered, reparented.
Amen, amen. There you go. I had a guy come to one of my conferences who had never been to church, but he's a smart guy. I like those kind of guys because they don't have to unlearn so much sometimes. Mm. And he said to me, Gordon, look, what you're saying is we can't get manhood from women. He says, I know we've tried that. I did too, and it doesn't work. We all, when we're honest, it doesn't work. You try one woman, she doesn't satisfy. You go to another, she doesn't. You go to another, you know, and they haven't got it to give you. They haven't got it. So he says, but now none of us got it from our fathers, so we don't have it either. So if you can't get it from women and you can't get it from other men, where are we going to get it?
Mm.
Now, see, that guy's close to the kingdom of God. He's close to a place where he's being real enough to say you can't get it in this natural world, so the only place you're going to get it is from a supernatural source. And that, of course, when a man is honest enough and real enough to come to that confession in his life, then he's ready to hear about reality. In this world we live in is not our home. We are spiritual beings, and a real man has to deal with spirituality.
Now, how can we be reparented? How can we be fathered by God then? I mean, how can we understand God's fatherhood and then really embrace his fatherhood of us?
Mm-hmm. Well, the process involves several steps, the way I see it and the way I minister to other men. First, a man has to recognize that he has a wound. That is, he has to realize that he's sick, that he needs help. Now, to men, see, when we men feel wounded, we feel ashamed. A man shouldn't have a wound. He shouldn't be broken. He shouldn't be hurt. And so we carry our guts behind us, pretending we're okay. But the wound is the avenue to our identity. It's when you get real enough to say, I'm wounded and need help, suddenly now you're open to receive power from other sources, and suddenly you're on a new road to healing. And Jesus, in the New Testament, says, I didn't come for those who are well, because they don't need a physician. Of course, he had his tongue in his cheek, because we all need We all need saving power. We all need a Father God to heal us because we're all broken and can't save ourselves. So the first thing you got to do is you got to be real enough to say, I'm broken, I'm hurt, I'm wounded, I need help. Now the second thing you got to do is you got to acknowledge what you needed from your father and what he didn't give you, or what he did and what hurt you. And when I work with men, I sit down and say, let's call on Jesus, who is alive and well. And I remember, I have a story once, for example, a guy whose father was an alcoholic. And this guy came to me. His wife was running around with other men. He couldn't get it together on the job. He kept getting fired. I said, do you ever remember a time with your dad when he made you feel like you were nothing? He said, oh, I do. So I was about 8 years old. He took me fishing one day. He was an alcoholic. And I can remember the clanking of the beer bottles. I can hear him as the boat would rock, the beer bottles would hit each other. He said, he gave me a hook. He says, put this worm on. He tried to show me, and it kept slipping out of my fingers. I couldn't get it on the hook. And pretty soon, Dad said to me, he was drunk, he said, you stupid kid, you can't put a worm on a hook. What a dumb guy you are. And he just really crushed this little boy. And I said, look, I want you to call on Jesus to be with you. And the Bible, Jesus says, I and the Father are one. So when you call on Jesus, you're calling on the Father God and his presence and reality. And this guy said, Jesus, come and be with me in the boat. And before long, he said, yes, Jesus is there in the boat with me and my dad. I said, what's he doing? He says, he's holding me. I said, let him hold you. And he says, and I said, now, tell your dad how you feel. And he spoke out finally what he depressed and suppressed all his life. That little eight-year-old boy spoke out of this 40-year-old man's voice, saying, Dad, stop it. Stop yelling at me like that. You make me feel like a worm. I can't do it, and I need some help. I need you to help me with it. You're my father. I need you. Don't put me down. Don't criticize me like that. You make me feel so ashamed, like I'm not a man. He just went on and on and on. Finally, he just sagged, exhausted in the chair. And I said, are you ready for one more step? He said, what's that? I said, would you be willing to ask Jesus to show me, just say practice, Jesus, show me my father the way you see him. And he says, okay, Jesus, show me my dad the way you see him. And then within a minute, his head was in his hands, and he's crying. And finally, I said, what happened? He said, when I asked Jesus, show me my dad the way you see him, I saw in my mind, just in my mind, I saw a picture of my dad. I remembered the way Grandpa used to beat on my dad the way my dad beat on me. I saw my father, I knew as my dad, as a little boy, and he was walking on crutches. He was crippled. No, his heart was crippled by the way Granddad criticized him, the same way my heart's been crippled from my father. Hmm. Years ago, an older brother, about 80 years old, and he got up and he said, men, whatever you don't forgive your father for, you'll do to your son. The next step of the healing process is that you've got to get together with other men who are on the same journey, a platoon, a group of other men who are battling for healing in their own lives, their marriages, and their jobs, as being fathers, all that stuff, and they want to get real. I was at a conference last week, and every time I do a conference, I put men in small groups, and I say, talk about your dad, I give them specific questions. Every time when we come out of the small groups, after about 20 minutes, I say, what was it like? And you just hear this quietness, like finally somebody will speak and say, we're starting to talk together. I've never talked to another man like this. And you can, suddenly you can just feel the energy rise. Everybody's excited. Mm-hmm. And there's a freedom. Why? Because suddenly the shame is dispelled. There's no more shame because we're all in it together. Dude.
Yeah, absolutely. Gordon, great to talk to you tonight. Thanks for joining us. It's been important to explore these kinds of things and look at ways that men can be re-fathered so that they can be the strong fathers to their children, their sons, and so we can rediscover this masculinity and the ability to face the lines of life with courage. So thanks for joining us on Open House tonight.
My pleasure.
Yeah, that's Gordon Dalby. He's the author of a number of books along this kind of theme. His most well-known is called Healing the Masculine Soul. He's got another one called Fight Like a Man. He's going to be in Sydney for a Sons of the Father conference on June 30 and July the 1st. It'll be held at Petersham Assembly of God. If you'd like to know more about that, LL Ministries are bringing him out. ll.org.au is the website address. That's ell.org.au.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.